Hey, all right, here we are on a morning walk and the birds are singing. Listen to that. I hope you can hear that. Yeah. The birds are chirping away, the leaves are turning colors. Me and Bonnie Blue, my kitty, we're all going for a walk down our lane. And we have a beautiful, my property is a blessing. And I, 55 years old and I have the property of my dreams and I'm so thankful for it. It was just, to me, it was a miracle that we found this because we looked everywhere for a property and everything just wasn't like what we wanted. We wanted something. It was so funny. We wanted something that was not too far from town. Okay. So I had a lot of, I guess you could talk about manifesting. I really don't like the term manifestation. It's a little woo-woo for me. And even though I'm an energy healing coach, I'm actually very analytical and only decided to go into energy healing when I started understanding the science behind some of these and, the science that's coming out in the research. Okay, let me not go there. Let's go back to where we're going. So we came to Arkansas and we thought, well, we'll stay here for about a year, right? Well, we hadn't even decided if we were going to land here and stay here. But it was, my husband is very much, he's in technology. He's a technological architect. I have no idea what that is. He does a lot of government contracts. He's independent, but he does a lot of government contracts. But I have no idea what it is that he does. So it's like, I know he can keep my machines running okay and keep my website and going and do all the things that I have no idea how to do. Anyway. But we stayed out here in an apartment. Well, we stayed in a hotel for 2 months and then an apartment for a year. And we were looking at properties and everything was like, right? So I had requirements for a property. I had that it had to be 30 minutes from town because I'm sorry. I grew up in the inner city. I grew up in the hood. And I'm just, a city girl at heart. And I don't want to be too far from my cup of coffee in the morning. So, I just like going into town. I like being in the city. But so it had to be at least, no more than a half an hour away from town. Okay. But it had to be, rural and away from people, but yet I could still get into town and be near people when I wanted to be. But a half an hour, that's all I wanted, half an hour drive. I didn't want flat land. I wanted more, topography, more valleys and hills and things like that. Okay. Those were my things that I want. And I wanted a home that was done, which I didn't get, but that's okay. It's getting done now. But, so those were my requirements. My husband's requirements is that it was on the property had to be off a paved road. Right. I mean, we drove around some of these areas and like, oh my gosh, some of the roads were so hard to get in and out of. So he said, no, I want to be off of a main paved road. Okay. So we looked for a year. Well, yeah, up and down looked. And again, we decided within a couple of months of being here, we looked around, we checked it out. We were paying attention. My husband had done all the analysis. He looked at the politics. He looked at the rights, specifically First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights. He looked at all of these things, and Arkansas came up pretty high on the list for what we wanted in our lives. Plus, Northwest Arkansas is nice because it has a lot of business, a lot of work. And so we had hoped that, okay, if we land here, and our family wants to come here. There's work here. There's a lot of work here. And Walmart is here. There's like 5 different Fortune 500 companies in Arkansas. And I think like 3 or 4 of them are up here in Northwest Arkansas, which is where we are. Okay, so, and my family, a lot of my family, well, 2 of my kids are in California, which is ridiculous for so many different reasons. So if they ever need a place to land, they can land here, find good work, and not be too expensive, be able to, afford a home, which, in California, forget it. I mean, it's so hard there, at least where we were living, which is Silicon Valley, and San Jose, anything like that. It's just ridiculous. And I don't know, who wants to be in California anyway? I'm sorry, if you live, I don't. I spent 20 years there. I loved it when I first moved there, and then it all went to pot. So, and my husband was born and raised there, and he just saw it you know, he talks about it a lot because he saw it going from a beautiful, you know, town, you know, country towns, rural area of cherry trees and orchards and all that, to becoming, you know, the cement jungle of technology. So by the time we moved away, we were just ready to move away. And after the whole restrictions of Newsom and the restrictions that they put on for COVID, which quite honestly, I rolled my eyes at when I first heard about COVID, but then I'm pretty skeptical about anything the government says to us, but there it is. So, but I ended up having to close down my performing arts school, you know, and then decided not to go back. And that's when we decided to move. All right, so year we looked at our property and everything was kind of flat and wasn't that great, or was it off a main road, it was too far away. And then Michael found this property and he pulled it up on the internet, and I just saw the road, right? Of course everything looks good on the internet because they choose the best pictures, so of course it's gonna look good. But immediately we were both like, oh my gosh, that's it, we got to go see it. So we came and it was the road. So we have, I think it's 2,000, I don't know. I'm going to say 2,000 feet, but I could be totally wrong, of a winding road. So hold up. This is what's great. It's 30 minutes from town, literally 30 minutes from town, okay? And which is perfect. It's off of a main county road that is very well maintained. One thing about the county we live in, they maintain their roads beautifully. So right off a main road. And it is, we have three levels to our property. So we have a lower valley where we have two holding ponds, a creek. Then we have the driveway main entrance level. And then, so we have this beautiful, I guess 2,000, I'm saying 2,000 feet. I could be completely off of that. Who knows? I'm not great at measurements, but it's a big one. It's a long road that winds around surrounded by oak trees and walnut trees. And it's this beautiful winding road, and it winds up and it goes around where you have a large pond, and then it goes up again on the third level. So we have three levels to this property where we have our home and our, and I just, I, and then there's a what's called, we call it the donut island or the donut pond. There's a pond that's kind of, they shaped a, I don't know who did this one, right? Which owner from us did this, but they made a pond, like they built a mound and then they carved out a pond that's a circular pond going around this hill. And this hill is attached with a bridge. I'm telling you, it was just gorgeous. Now, the house, I think I mentioned this early on, was a complete wreck. So I didn't get that. I mean, we had dogs. I mean, they were breeding dogs. I don't know what they were doing. They were renters and no idea. But the house, all the doors were broken. Like all of them had holes. And they were cheap doors that break really easy. So they had like three kids. And it's not a big house. We're planning to add on. But right now we just want to finish the house we have. But it's got, it's only three bedrooms and two, or one and a half bath. So it's not a big place. In fact, all of my stuff, none of it will fit into this house. I'm like, okay, we got to add on house so I can get my stuff in here. But it doesn't matter. It's a beautiful home, but it was a mess when we first moved in, and it smelled like pee. And I'm not sure if it was dog pee or human pee, or probably a combination of both. And they smoked. So there was smoke. I mean, rings of smoke, because they had fans in all the rooms, rings of smoke up on the ceiling. Oh, you know, and it was the popcorn ceiling. It was very dated. I mean, yeah, it was a mess. I mean, it was a mess. And I think I told you we couldn't find workers, right? Because I wanted to have a move-in ready house, but we couldn't find the workers. We just were able to get the floor done, which was good enough because at least we got the pee smell out, right? And then, of course, they left, and they left all their trash everywhere. So, of course, we had to get, you know, someone to come in and pick up all the trash and dump it anyway. So, but all in all, all of that being said, I can't tell you how thankful I am, because I love it here. And I have never said that about any place I've ever lived. I love the people here. Oh my gosh. I mean, you know, my husband, he grew up, so even though he grew up in San Jose, which during the time of him being a child, it was all farm and rural. And so he grew up, his family was farmers. So he, with his grandpa and a tractor. So he's, you know, his family has been, you know, planting and gardening and doing all these things, you know, and knowing how to do these things, you know, since he was a child, since before he was born. And of course, he's got a super green thumb. I mean, I can't grow shit, but he has a super green thumb. So he loves to garden. I mean, he does a beautiful job. He built a beautiful, developed a little French garden when we were living in San Jose. It was lovely. And, you know, just pretty. I mean, nothing really functional. I mean, meaning, you know, as far as herbs and all that, which we're doing now, but pretty. It was lovely. And he loves doing it. And he wanted to farm. And we thought, at first we thought we were going to do wine. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to build a winery. But Arkansas is not a place for wine, you know, so for grapes. So although a funny thing it is, it was supposed to have been based on what he did his research. And then we're like, oh, no, it really isn't. Okay. So anyway, we have other plans for farming. And we're working on those plans now. But now we're working on food. And which is, I think, a little more practical and necessary than wine right now. Well, not that wine doesn't necessarily, not necessary, but not as important as food is. Anyway, so, I don't know, yeah, so I'm just loving it. And right now I'm just taking a walk and listening to the birds and seeing all these caterpillars on the ground and, oh, the deer, and we have little baby deer, little Bambis running around. And I mean, it's just beautiful. So anyway, I was going to share with you what's been going on. So I think prep day was Friday. So I had 2 full days, Saturday and Sunday, on my liquid fast. And then yesterday I did a partial liquid fast, the GAPS fast, and then had a meat stock with the meat and vegetables in the evening. And woke up this morning and I have lost a total of 5 pounds now in 3 days. Now, some of that's water weight, right? I mean, a lot of times when, you know, people, oh, it's so exciting. And it is, because you're getting rid of inflammation. You're getting rid of a lot of the excess water and all of that. But usually the first, if you lose a lot of weight right away, it's really mainly water weight to begin with. So, but that's great because I do feel good. I feel lighter. Again, my tummy is almost back to where it was normally, which is flat, and I can actually start to see some of my muscles again. So I'm pretty pleased with that. And my energy level is super. And so I thought what I would do today is share with you an exercise that I did for myself. This is like one of my strategies. So I'm a strategic interventionist, and I don't know if you know anything about me. Probably not yet. I don't know. You could go to my website and learn. But I've trained. I'm a traditional naturopath. I am a life and relationship and energy healing coach. I do sound healing. I do breath work. I trained under Dr. Chloe Madonis and Tony Robbins, and actually trained and became a coach, a certified coach, under the RMT, Robbins Madonis Training Academy. So I've trained under the New Biology Clinic with Dr. Tom Cowan. And so I have I wear a lot of hats. And I was just talking to my husband today, and I said, you know, because I'm passionate about so many things. I love learning. Learning is a passion of mine. But learning just for learning's sake is okay. But learning so you can help others is the bomb, okay? That is what I live for. But I have a passion. I love learning new things. So I also am a clinical herbalist, because I thought, well, I should learn how to do herbal medicines, right? Because if we don't do regular, you know, drugs, we don't do that. Once I got my husband off the medication that was destroying his liver, I said, we're done. I said, okay, what now? So I decided I was going to either learn homeopathy or herbalism. And I love both. But with all the struggle that's going on with homeopathy, my concern is, well, the FDA has its way, there won't be any homeopathy. And even though I'm, you know, petitioning along and trying to help support, you know, keeping homeopathy available, you know, the government's going to do what the government's going to do, you know, until the people say no more. I don't know that we've gotten there yet, but I'm hoping we're getting close. But, and I don't mean violence or anything, but I mean, it's time to just maybe stop being so passive and start speaking out more. And we are, but I think we're going to be forced to have to do so a little bit more. Again, I'm not talking violence. I'm just talking about getting out there, being unafraid to say what you need to say, and choose to live your life the way you're meant to live, which is free. So I decide, well, if they take the homeopathy away, what can't they take away? They can't take my dandelion. They really can. If they take my dandelion away, well, then it's done. If my dandelion won't grow anymore, well, then we're done, right? So they can't take my weeds. So I'm going to learn how to use them. So I decided to go into herbalism, become a clinical herbalist. Anyway, so as a life coach, which is what I'm going to share with you right now, there's a tool that I use with my clients or in workshops or and even for myself, right? Everything that I do, everything that I teach, everything that I may, you know, offer someone to look into that they might find for themselves, I've tried myself. I do not recommend or anything that I have not firsthand experience, or if I don't have it, I know enough people who have firsthand experience, people that I trust, to try it. Now, why would I not try everything? Well, there's a lot of conditions that I don't have. For instance, you know, it's like a doctor, if they don't have any experience with cancer, they're not just going to try chemotherapy, right? Okay, not that anybody should do chemotherapy anyway, but that's not the point. The point is there are things that I haven't tried for myself because they're not something that I need, right? So, but I will talk to other practitioners or talk to who have said, yes, I have those kind of clients. And this is what we did. Oh, did it work? Yes. Okay. Well, what are the, you know, how many worked or whatever, we talk about stats or what have you, and clinical studies and so forth and so on. So either I will do it myself or I know people who have done it and have had success with it. Either way. So one of the tools I thought I'd share with you is called the string metaphor. Now, metaphors are used a lot in the kind of coaching I do. And what are metaphors? Well, metaphors you probably learned, remember, in school, you know, grade school, are symbols. In you know, they symbolize something, right? And a lot of times we use metaphors in our speech because sometimes it's just easier. Sometimes it's hard to put into words what we're feeling, what we're thinking. And so sometimes we just use a metaphor to symbolize, like, you know, I ran up against a brick wall, right? Or, excuse me, you know, I feel like I have so many hurdles to jump over, right? Or, oh, that went so well, it was smooth as ice. So those are metaphors that help to reflect what we're feeling, what we're thinking, without us having to necessarily find the words to express it. And metaphors are very important because they're a visual, right? Not necessarily a visual like an image. It can be, but it could be a visual like a tactile or real object, right? That can remind us of something. And you don't have to think of the words because the object themselves will speak it to you. Let me give you an example. So this string metaphor is, you take a string, I don't know, maybe about a foot long, maybe. Again, I don't know measurements very well. But at long enough that you could tie around your wrist. How about that? And just a string. And that string could be a metaphor for anything you want. It could be the metaphor of you tying yourself to an outcome, a success, a goal that you have. And that string symbolizes that you tying yourself to that outcome. Okay, so it can mean that, and it could be any outcome you want. You decide what that is for you. It could also mean, because we're going to tie the string around our wrist, so you can also use it as a cutting ties from something. So instead of being tying you to something, to a goal, an outcome, whatever it is, relationships, career, health, wellness, whatever, right? Emotional, you know, resources, how you want to feel emotionally, mentally, anything. You have a goal, and that string around your wrist is going to symbolize you tying yourself, committing yourself to that goal. Or you can take some scissors and you can cut that string once it's tied to your wrist. And that would symbolize you cutting the ties away from something. Maybe something that's been holding you back. Maybe it's thinking, right? That beliefs, old beliefs that just don't serve you anymore. Old thinking that you're like, you know what? I used to think that, but why do I think that now? Or is that even my thought? Where did that thought originate? Did that originate with me? Or did it originate with my parents? Or did it originate from society? You know, a lot of age, for instance. Oh, when you turn a certain age, it's all downhill from there, right? Okay, there's a metaphor, right? It's all falls apart from there. Well, does it? And we believe that. But does it have to? Is there another truth? Have there been people who have lived long, long, beautiful lives, and as they grew older, didn't get old? They just got older, but without getting old. Is there examples of that? Sure there are. I could tell you one. And my grandmother-in-law, she died at 102. And she chose when to die. She literally was like, I'm done. I can go into that later. But she lived a full independent life up to 102, almost 103. So where did that belief stem from? It's not an original thought. So again, take a string. Decide if it's going to be a string that ties you to an outcome, to a goal, to an intention, to something you want in any area of your life, or decide that string is going to symbolize cutting ties from something, from beliefs, from habits, from whether maybe it's smoking, maybe it's overeating, maybe it's whatever it is. You make the choice. Take that string, once you've decided what it's going to represent to you, tie it around your wrist. If you decide that that string is going to represent you tying yourself to something, leave it on your wrist and look at it every day. And that is your reminder. That's your symbol that says, remember what you're tying yourself to. Is what you're doing today going to bring you closer to that goal, the outcome, that intention that you have that this string represents? Okay. Now, if you've chosen that the string is going to be a symbol of you cutting away from something, take your scissors and cut away. Keep the string. Maybe keep it somewhere where you can see it. You might even keep it in your pocket. Doesn't matter. Wherever you think you might need it to remind yourself, oh, no. When you start to maybe move into a habit you want to get rid of. Again, I don't know what you chose, but let's just say it was a habit of smoking or eating something you shouldn't eat or whatever. Right? Or maybe it's a thought that I'm too old for this, or I'll never do this, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, whatever. Whatever you decided that you want to cut away from, that string is your reminder, you cut yourself away from that. That is no longer attached to you. So that's called the string metaphor exercise. Try it for yourself if you'd like. I would love to hear what you decided to use your string metaphor for, either tying yourself to something or cutting ties from something. So let me know. Go ahead and, you can message me on my website and find me on Twitter. If you can't find me on Twitter, I shouldn't say Twitter anymore, right? X, go to my website and then click on it's still the Twitter symbol, right? Up on the upper left-hand corner of my website. And hopefully then I will be getting these out on Spotify and YouTube and all the social media, blah, 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 blah things. And then you can chat with me there. All right. And actually I'll get these out on X too. And you can comment there too. All right. Hey, have a great day. And do your string metaphor. All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye.